Introducing the newly transformed Sheraton San Diego Resort, the perfect place to soak in stunning waterfront views. With all new guest rooms, including suites with private balconies, a new pool and cabanas, plus jet skiing and paddleboarding, you may never leave. Hungry? Savor Cali Baja dining. Thirsty? Grab a beer at Brewery X. Head to Marriott.com to book your stay at the Sheraton. Book now and enjoy breakfast on us each night you stay. Sheraton of San Diego Resort. New look, same heart of the harbor.
Urgent announcement, America. It's time to rise up and reclaim our values. Welcome to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. This is your platform for truth and action. Join Steve and our guests as we confront the critical issues facing our nation today. We stand together for a pro-American, pro-family future rooted in our foundational truths. From defending our liberties to preserving our cultural heritage, we're here to ignite insightful discussions and passionate advocacy. Don't miss a moment of this crucial dialogue as we work to reclaim our cultural integrity and shape a brighter tomorrow. Tune in and be a part of the movement. It's your journey to informed citizenship and action. And now, let's dive in and make a difference together. Here's your host, Steve Austin.
Good afternoon, everybody. And it's good to be on the air. Kelly is with us today, so it's a true Steve and Kelly show. And got a lot of kind of breaking news. One thing, you know, this program, we've done about 75 shows so far, started in July. So I guess, Kelly, we'll be coming up on an anniversary here in a little bit. But
celebrate.
The great thing is there's never a shortage of things to talk about.
You know, right. Just, there's so much going on the time.
It's just mind-boggling, and it's interesting stuff, but the pace at which we're dealing with change in this world, in this country, in California is pretty incredible. So I'm just going to chat with you before our guest comes on about some of the breaking news that I see, that there's a whole variety of things that is kind of interesting. But one of the stories that hasn't gotten the press that I think it deserves is World Magazine just came out this week. And we, by the way, need to get the editor of World Magazine on our show. She lives here in San Diego. I've had her at some of the PAC lunches. And so we'll reach out and make sure she joins us one of these days. Mm-hmm. But one of the lead articles in the current edition is entitled Massacre in Syria. And, of course, Syria, that whole Middle Eastern, Lebanon, Syria, obviously Gaza, Iran, all been going through tremendous challenges and difficulties and death, and Israel in particular. But so this article on page 20 caught my eye because it hasn't gotten a lot of press. But, you know, there were actually, you know, the leader in Syria was a pretty tough guy who's actually a medical doctor, but he finally got ran out of the place. Some other people have taken over the country, but since then there have been over 1,300 people massacred, a number of whom were Christians. And prior to that time, the guy that was running the show there had certain providences in which, believe it or not, these Christians were able to live reasonably safe and comfortable. Mm-hmm. But that is a growing problem, and one that, you know, we need. I'm not certain what America can do about that, but certainly, you know, be very aware and much in prayer for their safety. But
absolutely.
The article is called Massacre in Syria, World Magazine. Highly recommend it. And then just kind of running through a variety of other things, which I always find fascinating. You know, Ben and Jerry, you like Ben and Jerry's ice cream?
I like all ice cream. Who doesn't like ice cream, Steve?
Yeah, I know. No kidding. We got hooked back on Thrifty ice cream the other day.
I was going to say, I'm more of a Thrifty Rite Aid girl, though. If I'm going to pick some ice cream, it's nice and creamy and delicious. So
Thrifty's been around since 1940. So what is that, 85 years? And I was talking to one of the folks in our firm that is from Mexico, and he goes, you know, Thrifty's extremely popular in Mexico.
Oh,
and
wow.
They have thrifty ice cream stores and everything. you know, if you went to the right Rite Aid, they actually, you could order cones, kind of like a Baskin Robbins deal. But a lot of the Rite Aids have been closed. I don't know if they BK'd or what, but nevertheless.
Yeah, Ben, kind of fun fact, my dad actually worked for Rite Aid. He was the Southern California tech for all of Southern California. And so he used to go to the ice cream, you know, foundation, whatever you call it, where they were making the ice cream. And he would bring it home to us. And I'm talking, whew, it was so creamy and delicious. So we'd always beg him to bring some home whenever he went and visited. But yeah, we were a big part of Rite Aid for a lot of my life. So.
Well, I discovered in the store that we, Gelson's, that we shop at, they have a thrifty section, which normally I try and scoot the cart right past that, but they have they have six of the flavors. Mm-hmm. Rocky Road, which is Gail's favorite and good. They have pistachio. They have butter pecan. They have a chocolate malt thing. And, you know.
They must have mint and chip. They have to.
Yeah.
They always have mint and chip.
Yeah.
The gross one, though, to me is there's one that just has a bunch of dyes in it.
Hmm.
And my kids would always want to pick that one. And it's just blue. It makes their mouth blue.
Oh,
so I finally got them onto pistachio and the mint and chip. But we have one, actually, a little thrifty ice cream at a Circle K here in Fallbrook.
Oh, really?
So,
wow.
Yeah. So, and it's just down the street from us. So we get to go and enjoy thrifty ice cream, you know, once a week with the kids.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, Ben & Jerry's is up in the Stowe, Vermont area. And years and years ago, when I worked in New York, we would take, once a month, we'd go somewhere in the Northeast, and we went up to Vermont and stopped at Ben & Jerry's headquarters. Now, the only challenge is Ben & Jerry's were phenomenally liberal left-wing guys. Great ice cream, but politically they were a mess. And so somebody came and bought them over a few years ago, and they fired him. They fired the CEO because of all his activism and left-wing stuff. So life, there's still hope for ice cream.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say they renamed it to, like, Susie and Joey or something.
Speaking of LGBTQ, Hungary, which is a very conservative country in Europe, has now passed laws that prohibit pride marches in the city. So they're taking a stand on that, which is interesting. They've been very conservative. Another newsy item is Trump just came out yesterday and said, we're going to overhaul the elections. We're going to have voter ID. Imagine that. And we're going to push for paper ballots and internal control. So, you know, there isn't too much that he hasn't talked about that I think in our gut we want to have happen. And it's actually moving along.
Now it's feasible. We can see that there is a foreseeable future in it. Well, this kind of brings me back to that talk we had during the convention of the CAGOP. And why aren't we starting the march in each and every one of the GOPs across the nation and even within our own conventions doing paper ballots? You know, it's just so simple.
So,
let's just give it a start.
The other buzzword that's going on these days is the word capitulation. And that's just a great word for basically saying, I'm going to submit. And so there's, you know, Trump is going after some of these big law firms, some of them I've been familiar with, because of the way they went about trying to, you know, prove Russian hoax stuff and whatnot. And they're rolling over, just like Columbia. We'll be talking about that in another show here. But, you know, Columbia, when he said, okay, there's $400 million gone, they suddenly started to understand what the word capitulation means.
I hope this lasts. You know, I hope it's not just 4 years of common sense, but people start to wake up and see, like you said, so many people are rolling over right now. Now it's almost scary how quickly it's happening. So let's remember this. Let's remember how many people threw things out the door, out the window, and said, oh yeah, you're right. It doesn't make any sense. And hopefully that continues even when Trump is gone.
The Wall Street Journal earlier this week, headline, front page, fossil fuel industry extracts its revenge on green activists. Don't you know they've been waiting to do that, these environmentalists and whatnot? So, you know, it's truly amazing the kinds of things. The DEI is dead in America, just like climate change. If you read the annual reports, the 10-Ks and annual reports coming out from most companies in America, they are pulling way back from the use of the term climate change or DEI. Now, multinational companies continue to hearken the DEI sustainability message in Europe. And, you know, they've always been a little behind us, but that has been going on in Europe. So when they write these reports, the reports that go to the American side, we're not going to talk about DEI or climate change. The Europeans still are stuck in that whole green climate Paris Accord stuff. So a lot of stuff, in fact, here's Financial Times says websites are purged of climate change statements. So it is truly less than 90 days, Kelly, less than 90 days. It's truly amazing the kinds of stuff that's going on.
You know, well, it makes me think I want to look it up on NASA because they had a lot of verbiage in there about climate change. So I wonder if they've gone in and restructured their website. I'm going to check that out after this radio show.
So, well, we're going to get ready for our guests, but we have more topics to talk about in following shows. Snow White is a big deal. Who would have thought? And and this whole leak, so to speak, regarding war plans. So anyhow, stay tuned. Our special guest, not our regular special guest, but our special guest is coming on
shortly. Very special. She's amazing. You're going to want to stick around.
Yep.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, Swenson Children's Foundation.
Are you looking for a local, top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at SwensonAdvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
Steve, welcome back, everyone. Like we said, one of a good friend of mine here in Fallbrook, she's also the new first vice chair of the Fallbrook Planning Group, Stephanie Baxter. She opened up a church. Basically, her and her husband decided during COVID, people need to come and worship our Lord and Savior. And people are right now, you know, being isolated. We saw, you know, I don't know, Steve, if you heard about all the news of kids who were, you know, suicidal. We saw a lot of people who just needed that community again. Oh, yeah. And that's what the church is. It's not a building. It's the people getting together. And so they opened up a church, believe it or not, at a vineyard right here in Fallbrook. It's called the Vineyard Church. And they have just been serving our community. Her husband serves on the water board, water district board. She serves on the Fallbrook Planning Group. So I'm excited to bring her in, Steve, because she's going to give us a lot of updates about what is going on here in San Diego County, here in Fallbrook specifically as well. But it affects our whole county.
Yeah.
And so, Stephanie, are you there? We are so happy to have you.
Hello to you both. Great to be with you.
Steph, thanks for being with us. And like I said before, you and I met and I knew right away we were going to be buds. You are down to earth. You love the Lord and you love people. And you've really proven that. How many years have you been on the planning group now?
Since 2019.
Wow.
Wow. Yep. So you can see right around COVID, everything was happening. And then tell us a little bit about how you guys opened this church at the Vineyard.
Well, it's a great story. Churches were locked down. Everything was locked down, right, including the church that we were serving at, which is a large church outside of San Diego County. But we were doing Zoom recordings for worship and our service on Thursdays. And so our Sundays were open, and it just started to get weird, right? The rest was nice for a short time, but then it got weird. And we were doing exactly what Hebrews 10:25 tells us not to do by forsaking the fellowship. And we were giving up meeting together, and we got into the habit of doing that, just as the Bible warned us not to. So we saw all this going on. We were listening to some very bold pastors online, podcasts, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Rob McCoy, and others that were just encouraging us to keep going, to get out there, to not forsake the fellowship. And we were also awakening to a lot of the wickedness and the deception of this world, right? We had all this free time on our hands, and our eyes were being opened to the reality of the deception from the enemy, of just like the way the world works, right? And it was the opposite thing that we should have been doing was not to be together in church with one another on Sundays.
Right.
And so we were sitting around talking at the fire pit at our friend's beautiful vineyard right here in Fallbrook, and just saying, it's Mother's Day. Mother's Day's coming up. This will be the first Mother's Day that we can remember not being in church with our moms. What are we going to do about this? How did we get here? And we looked at each other and we all said, well, why don't we just get together here? We'll open a Bible. We'll pull out a guitar. We'll sing some songs and we'll have a little underground Mother's Day church service.
Amazing. So,
it was. And so we did. And about 30 people showed up. We didn't obviously post it online. We didn't want the cops to show up. But it was a rainy Mother's Day, May 10th, 2020. There was about 30 people that showed up with their umbrellas, and we just sang some songs and opened the Word of God and encouraged one another. And we thought, okay, that was nice. And through the week, the Lord said, do it again. And we were like, so then we did it again. And the same thing happened the week after. And now people were starting to come, and we thought, okay, this is a thing. We'll do this until things go back to normal. And I say that in air quotes, because we are not pastors. But once this little fellowship started to grow, the pastors whose churches were closed, who were also not meeting on Sunday, wanted to come teach the Word of God, which is so strong in many of their hearts. And so we had pastors calling us and saying, hey, can I come teach at your church? And Bible teachers and constitutional speakers, and it was fantastic. So we were managing a schedule and just putting things together week by week, but all the while thinking this was going to be temporary until churches opened back up.
And then, Stephanie, was this all outside?
It is. Wow. It is all outside.
Wow.
There is a beautiful olive orchard,
yeah,
which provides shade. And so folks come, they bring their chairs. It's obviously dog friendly, but it's a lot of work. It's a commitment to come to the Vineyard Church. We don't have a childcare ministry or anything like that. So families come and they sit together for church on Sunday. And when it's hot, we have sunscreen and bug spray. And when it's cold, we bundle up. And if it rains, we do have to cancel. So we are subject to the elements for sure. But it's so beautiful to be able to worship and hear the Word of God all the while being surrounded by his creation and feeling the spirit on the breeze and with the sun on our faces. And it's an experience like no other. Yeah.
It is amazing. And Steve, I forgot to mention that Stephanie has a gorgeous voice as well. So she leads worship and beautiful. And her husband is the most charismatic person you've ever met. So he's tons of fun. He comes and he dresses up for events and is with the kids. And so they do a lot of fun things for our community. And they've been able to reach a lot of people. I mean, it's not your typical church, right, Steph? So people come, sometimes just thinking they're going to the Vineyard, right? Because they have events and maybe it's the pumpkin patch and they're just coming to get a pumpkin and they show up and church is happening. And so it's an incredible outreach. Have you guys had a lot of people, you know, show up and say, hey, we're not used to normal church, but this is different and we like it?
Kelly, you couldn't have, I couldn't have said it better. People come because it's not a traditional church building. It's not a churchy church. I don't mean anything derogatory by that, but it's free and open and not intimidating, if you will. And so there's people that come that wouldn't come to a traditional church. It's more, sometimes people see it as more of a fellowship opportunity, and they don't realize the Holy Spirit has something, you know, deeper and more meaningful for their life. And people are encountering God. My parents live right behind the Vineyard, which is amazing. And they have a pool. And when it was time to do baptisms, we just walked down the back street of the Vineyard and we did baptisms in my parents' pool. So the Lord has just provided far beyond anything that we could have ever asked or imagined that we would be experiencing at this season of our lives. And Lord willing, we'll still be here doing this until he calls us home. I don't know, but it'll be our sixth Mother's Day. This May will be our sixth Mother's Day. So what happened after churches opened back up, and you know, our fellowship had grown some roots and become established, and liberty loving folks were coming from all over to enjoy worship and the word outside. And we thought maybe we would be released from this because the guest speaker list was starting to diminish. And Dave and I are not pastors. We are not theologians. We are not students of the Bible. We're ministers of the gospel. We love people. We love God. And it was just as simple as that. But we were wrestling with God. We need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. And he kept saying to Dave and I am your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And all we were doing was wanting.
We're listening today to Stephanie Baxter, who is the co-pastor and worship leader at the Vineyard Church in, and is that in Fallbrook?
Yes, sir, it is.
What is the, if people want to attend, what's the address there?
It is at 1924 East Mission Road.
Okay.
Called Fallbrook Vineyard Church, and we meet at the Vineyard 1924. All of it's very original. We are in Fallbrook, we are at a vineyard, and we're doing church. So we just decided to call it Fallbrook Vineyard Church.
And you're not to be confused with the Vineyard Church denomination.
Correct. And sometimes we are confused with that denomination. So no association.
So tell us a little bit about your background, your husband, family, and whatnot.
Well, I'm a California native, one of the few left here, fighting for this beautiful state that I call home, that I love so much. Was raised in a healthy, loving Christian home, and as I'd mentioned before, my parents moved to Fallbrook a few years ago, so we get to enjoy life together with them. they made sacrifices so that I could go to a Christian university, which I graduated from Azusa Pacific back in the good old 1990s. My husband Dave and I have been married for 23 years. We have one son, Jake, who lives on the other side of the country in New York. And so we are empty nesters, and we live on a little flower farm here in rural North San Diego County, Fallbrook. And most of my time these days, much different than in 2019 when I was appointed to the planning group, I spend many hours every day serving my community on a wide spectrum, from obviously ministry, which is a full-time job now, to all the local government things. Kelly and I serve together on the Fallbrook Planning Group, and lots in between.
You recently became the first vice chair, and so that got a little more complicated, I'm sure, where you have to be, like you said, more involved. So tell us a little bit about that, because I think, you know, I didn't know coming into the Fallbrook Planning Group exactly what I was getting into. I didn't know, you know, all the different organizations that are associated with San Diego County, and how, you know, we're in an unincorporated town. We're not a city. And that's why we have a planning group and not a, you know, a committee. And so tell us a little bit about how that kind of works for an unincorporated area.
Right. So unincorporated areas are governed by the county. Like you said, Kelly, we're not a city, so we do not have a city council. And so these individual towns and unincorporated areas need some representation to let the county know what's best for each one of these communities. So there are community planning and sponsor groups that are either appointed or elected. Fallbrook's is elected. It's a 15-person board who makes recommendations to the county for everything regarding from parks, traffic, design review, public facilities, which are, you know, cellular towers, utility-related projects, housing projects, and we, you know, we let them know either we approve of this project, or this is going to be good for Fallbrook, or this is something that won't work in Fallbrook and is not good for Fallbrook. And so we don't have any governing authority. We don't manage finances. We don't have a purview that speaks to health or economy per se, but just general land use is where we make our recommendations.
And do you report to Jim Desmond?
Jim Desmond is our district supervisor, so I wouldn't say that necessarily we report to him, but more so the board of supervisors.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and he helps out quite a bit. He's come out and been a part of some of those decisions, and, you know, really pushed back on Sandag in some ways, even though we could talk about that sometime, but where he actually got kicked off that board. But now looking at our new, you know, we're going to be getting a new district supervisor for our area. I think that we're all we're bummed. We really liked Jim Desmond, but we're looking forward to making those new connections depending on who comes in there. But what have you noticed through Sandag? Has that been a big influence on, you know, our community as well and the decisions they make?
Absolutely. They have made countless decisions that do not work for most unincorporated areas, Fallbrook being one. So they would like to see us out of our cars and into bicycles. We don't have many bike lanes in Fallbrook. We don't have many sidewalks in Fallbrook. And many people move to this rural community or these rural unincorporated communities for those specific reasons. There's a rural yesterday kind of charm to the windy roads and scenic vistas and hillsides and agricultural communities that these towns offer. They are not structured as a gridded big city. And so Sandag kind of takes a wide brush stroke and makes laws, and they don't apply well here. They're not going to work financially here. They're not going to work for us, because as long as we live in the rural backcountry, we are going to need our vehicles. So yes, Sandag has...
And horse trailers. Yeah, it's very different than the rest of San Diego. I tell people all the time, I'm from California, but the, you know, the town that I'm in does not remind you of California. We are off the grid. There's no reason to drive through Fallbrook. We're not a drive-through town. And also, like you said, it is so beautiful. I drive around with my boys every day and point out just this is, look at this terrain. It's beautiful. Or we're driving on a street and we're underneath all these trees that are hanging over the street, which I'm sure is a headache for, you know, the county when they have to come in and clean up that brush. But it is absolutely gorgeous. It's unique. And we want to keep it unique. And so I know that you've been working really hard. And some of the things that have come in lately has been, I mean, I'd like to start with the cannabis, just because I want to break that down for the community to understand. It's not just Fallbrook. Obviously, this is the whole county that wants to implement laws and bylaws concerning the growth of cannabis. So what are you guys seeing? I know you've worked really hard on this. What have you seen so far and what are they trying to push?
You bring up some good points about the beauty and charm of this place that we call home, and it's all about preservation, right? And we know that as the world progresses, it's going to keep decaying. And as salt and light, it's our job to slow the decay. And so preserving Fallbrook has kind of become this thing in the forefront of our mind of, okay, we know these things, cannabis, all the state mandates and state laws that override our local control are at our front door, at our back door, in our kitchen sink. And so our job is to preserve as much as we can of these beautiful places that we get to call home. So some of the biggest challenges that we're facing as a community, not just through the planning group, but these big projects and these state laws are affecting everybody. And cannabis is, yes, we've spent hundreds and hundreds of hours reading through a 1,300-page environmental impact report regarding the implementation of a cannabis ordinance. So a little history, 1996, medical marijuana was legalized in California. 2016, recreational use was legalized. Then the state of California gave all 58 counties the opportunity to implement an ordinance or not. So far, 18 counties have implemented some sort of ordinance. We will be, well, I shouldn't speak that way. We could be the 19th county to implement an ordinance. That is what the Board of Supervisors have put forward from 2021. They brought this forward and since then have been trying to develop an adequate program to implement into the county. Only the unincorporated areas. This would include manufacturing, distribution, retail, and cultivation.
We're listening today to Stephanie Baxter, who is not only highly involved with the Vineyard Church in Fallbrook, but also the Fallbrook Planning Commission and wrestling with the cannabis issue. Now, what's interesting about that drug is I believe San Diego is one of the counties that has adopted an ordinance. But the banks will not, at least last time I checked, will not allow cannabis bank accounts, accounts that are associated with the cannabis business. So these folks end up with, I guess, a lot of cash in their mattress or something. But, it's a business that it seems like recently I read that is really not doing very well.
Right, Steve. So the market is saturated. So if you're just looking at rolling out a cannabis program in a state where the market is saturated economically, it's not viable. The illicit market is huge, and it is shown by studies in other areas such as Santa Barbara, not Humboldt. Humboldt is kind of the grandfather of the marijuana capital of California, and they were obviously the first to roll out their ordinance. They've learned a lot of things. They've been doing this for a long time. The other counties that have picked this up are making a lot of mistakes that are unnecessary. But economically, it's not viable. And our program is a rare program in that it is called a socially equitable cannabis program.
So what's that, what's that mean?
That means that if you were a victim of the war on drugs and you were arrested for a marijuana-related crime...
Wait for this. Then, it's crazy.
Then when marijuana became legalized, your crime was reversed. Mm, and okay. Now the County of San Diego, in the spirit of reparations, thinks that it's a good idea to give preferential license, to give taxpayer grant money and legal assistance, real estate assistance to these people to roll out this program.
Amazing.
And right. So there's that whole aspect of it as well. So now you've got a very racist social program that's problematic. It's problematic right. in the economic sector, and it's also problematic because of the way the unincorporated areas are zoned. Agriculture and residential are interspersed, and mm-hmm. so you could live on a 5 or 10 acre property with an avocado or a citrus grove next to you that it might be more financially feasible for a farmer to, you know, knock down their tomatoes and start growing cannabis. And that could be in the middle of a neighborhood with 30 or 50 homes on these large acre parcels. And as right. we know,
kids running around trying to live their life. Yeah.
So the odors, you know, travel a far distance on the wind, security dogs barking. It's a cash only business, as you mentioned, Steve. So there's a lot of problematic concerns that we have. Santa Barbara County has had their ordinance for now 6 or 7 years, and it has decimated not only the wine industry, but just the neighborhoods and the tourism. So we are trying to encourage the county as planning groups and community members, please look at these other counties where this program has not worked, where these mm-hmm. things failed, and don't do the same thing to us.
Yeah. And I know, Stephanie, you guys have really unpacked all the different options, right? As far as the ordinances and the impact on the communities that you guys have researched, who have already implemented these ordinances, and you have decided that there is an ordinance that you like the best, but it still needs to, you know, be unpacked, and new laws and bylaws need to go into these ordinances. What is it? What are you guys leaning towards at this point? Or what are we as a planning group leaning towards at this point? What are we going to suggest to the county?
Well, I don't want to get into too much detail, but I do want to give God some glory here, because he gets all the glory for all the things as long as we're listening and have eyes to see and ears to hear. And we thought when the county asked us to make recommendations that if we said we would like to see no program rolled out, we thought, well, we can't recommend that because they won't listen to us. If we have any other comments or questions or recommendations regarding a program at all, if we say no and throw our hands up or cross our arms and just say no, 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 they wouldn't listen. Well, we learned that's not true. And so now we have the opportunity to reconsider our recommendation and say, we don't want this program, period. Yeah. However, that is not likely. In the event that a program is adopted, here's our recommendations. And so we're recommending no cultivation. We're recommending stricter regulations on retail events. They want to have smoking lounges. So we'd like to see sensitive use setbacks of 1,000 feet or more from schools, parks, daycare centers, churches, et cetera, and all sorts of just, you know, not roadblocks for the industry, but safe measures to protect the community. And that is not what the industry stakeholders want. They've made it very clear what they want. They do not want any regulations. They do not agree with zoning laws or protections or enforcement. And that the other problem area is that the enforcement body, unless there's illegal activity, but the enforcement body for this program will be Planning and Development Services, which is code enforcement. And if anybody has had a complaint with code enforcement, they're so backlogged and understaffed. So we need more staff as this program rolls out, because it's going to be very detrimental to each one of these unincorporated areas.
So let me ask you a little bit of a provocative question I've thought about, and that is, you mentioned very early on medical marijuana. Now, is there a case under doctor's supervision and prescriptions and whatnot for the use of marijuana?
Is there a case for the use of it?
Well, is there a case that it can be viewed as medicinal in certain, I would presume, pretty limited cases?
Absolutely. It's nothing that we've ever done, but I understand that some people, if they are battling cancer or end-of-life pain and suffering, that has been a last resort that has brought them relief and comfort. And I have compassion toward that. And if that is a natural path that someone can explore and benefit from, fine. This, what we're dealing with right now is not that.
It's the general use.
This is a rollout for recreational use, yes.
Contrast cannabis to fentanyl in terms of how it works in the body.
Now that I will not be able to scientifically explain.
What little I know is, you know, cannabis does provide, you know, a certain mental state and whatnot, whereas fentanyl actually works on the heart and the heartbeat. Of course, fentanyl is a drug that's used by anesthesiologists. The problem is the trafficking of it, first of all, is very dangerous because it's not under medical care. But the mechanisms, what little I understand, between fentanyl and cannabis and marijuana is quite different, and fentanyl being significantly more risky, but used as, you know, a drug in certain surgeries. And anesthesiologist, but you know there's a couple of cannabis stores in a shopping center that I go by, and of course they have all kinds of attractive names and colors and whatnot, and you see people wandering in there, and you just think about, and I have the same view on liquor stores, to be honest with you, that most of that stuff is not healthy, and it ultimately shows up at a minimum in people's lifespan, life expectancy, and so it's the type of thing that hopefully, you know, one of the things that you have to take your hat off for Trump is, you know, he's a non-alcohol guy, and I think he's raised his kids that way and whatnot. And it's just something that he says, I'm not gonna pursue. His brother died of alcoholism here a few years ago, and so it's some of the things I've seen. One of the folks we're working with, it's been a long time friend, is, you know, I think longevity is improved by staying away from, and obviously smoking is. And I grew up in the South. And North Carolina, and you know, they'd be hanging those tobacco leaves to dry out in the and I had a friend from college I went to see in the backwoods of Tennessee one day, and the father said, "Hey, help me harvest this tobacco, and so we can get it dried out." And I thought, interesting. So you know, a lot of that stuff is just things to teach our kids to stay away from. And
yeah,
my wife is real good when driving around the grandkids, pointing this stuff out and basically scaring them and telling them, I don't ever want to see you walking into one of those places. So
absolutely. And I think that sometimes too, Steve, what you're saying is that the downsides outweigh the benefits, right? And Steph, that's what we're speaking to on the planning group is, are the benefits of cannabis used medicinally, which like you just said, most of these places are not going to be for medicinal use. They're going to be recreational, which one thing we didn't really hit on is that the impact on a community, when you have recreational growth throughout that community, the, you know, the clientele that it brings in, unfortunately, can bring down the community as well. It can be unsafe for those families and those kids. And then, you know, you were speaking to it a little bit, but there's the noise of the dogs they're going to put there. There's the smell of the cannabis while it grows. So I know a lot of the different programs, they allow only for inside growth. But my question for you is, if we don't have an ordinance, if there nothing is put forth like we're asking, do they just create their own ordinance or can people do whatever they want? What is the law right now in Fallbrook without an ordinance?
Could have 6 plants legally in our backyard. And that is we live in a free country and that's the law in California, which gives you the liberty to do that. There are 5 dispensaries in the unincorporated area right now that will be grandfathered no matter if a program is rolled out or not.
Okay.
I just don't see the county ever shutting them down. They want to expand this, obviously. And then the cities in San Diego have their own ordinances and laws. And so there's dispensaries in the cities that, you know, I don't know about. But as far as what we can do in the unincorporated area is, yes, everybody's entitled to grow 6 plants.
Gotcha. And then, Steph, what is it that people can do to get involved? If you're listening and you live in Fallbrook or any unincorporated county and you are city or town, I mean, sorry, that one's hard for me to always get right. But if you're in an unincorporated town and you want to be involved, you don't want this to happen to your town. You want to continue to only allow for those 6 plants, you know, because that is not going to have everything we just talked about. It's not bringing in the riffraff. Sorry, but it's true. And it's not going to have the smell and the noise ordinance area problems. So what is it that actual people can do? Can they go to their planning group? Can they go to the county? Where can they get involved and make their voice heard?
Jeremiah 29:7. Seek the peace and prosperity of your city because it will directly affect your family's peace and prosperity. And so the way that you do that, yes, you get involved. You walk into your chamber of commerce. You read your local newspaper. You attend some of these local meetings. You have to seek the information. It's not going to come knocking at your door. So many times in so many projects, whether it's a housing development, a storage facility, or something as big as a cannabis program, people will come out after the fact and make recommendations and comments and complain. And we say, where were you in the planning process? You know, the information is out there, but you have to seek. And when you do that, as a follower of Christ, you are civically engaging, you know, biblically. And you want to see goodness and protection and morality upheld in your community. And so you have to seek it out. It's not easy. It takes extra work. Everybody's busy. They have families and jobs and social lives and ministries, but this is where we live. And these global, evil, wicked policies are at our back door. We probably thought when we moved to a rural community like Fallbrook that those big global evil policies would not come here. But they are here, they are big, and they are affecting our everyday life.
And this is a phenomenal topic to have people in the pulpit and the Christian schools to really message to their congregation, to their student body, you know, the evils of this and, you know, make it economically unprofitable to open one and have a community particularly what Kelly, you two are doing on the planning commission there, and really, you know, set the place apart. It's kind of like having a dry county, you know, and there's still a few of those around.
And I would be proud. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Stephanie, this has been great and very, very informative. We appreciate what you're doing and your husband and your hard work. So we look forward to another great program.
Keep it up in every area, Steph. You guys are doing great things here in Fallbrook, and it's going to affect our whole county and the world. So appreciate you.
We're all in this together. Thank you, Steve and Kelly, for all your good work. I appreciate being with you.
All right.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Thanks. And we will see you guys next time. So much more to uncover, but we will see you in the next show. Steve, adios.
Thank you.
That concludes another powerful episode of Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. We thank you for joining us today as we tackled the crucial issues facing our beloved nation. Remember, we stand united for a pro-American, pro-family future deeply rooted in our foundational truths. The insightful discussions and passionate advocacy you've heard here today are just the beginning of our journey to reclaim our cultural integrity. Stay informed, stay engaged, and join us next week as we continue to shape a better tomorrow. Together, we can make a difference. Until next time, let's keep standing strong for what matters most.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, Swenson Children's Foundation.
Are you looking for a local, top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at swensonadvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
Canic Firearms have come to California. The Canic Nate MC9 is here. Compact, powerful, and built for reliability. This is the pistol that's redefining your shooting experience. With its sleek design, world-famous Canic trigger, and an unbelievable list of accessories in the box, the Nate MC9 is the perfect choice for both new shooters and seasoned pros. Now available in California. Visit your local dealer or check online to experience the Canic Nate MC9 today. Canic, superior firearms.